It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Community gardens, they help create more equitable access to healthy food, and they bring people together to improve the well-being of neighborhoods. We gather information now from community garden leaders as the season for plot reservations is underway. Call in with your questions about starting a community garden or tending to a plot. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. All things community gardens. Annie Schmitz is Brown County Area Extension Community Garden Coordinator with 15 garden sites in Green Bay and the surrounding area. Annie, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you for having us.
Good morning. And Judy Knutson is here, Brown County Area Extension Director. Judy, welcome.
Thank you. And again, thank you for having us. We're excited to talk about community gardens this morning.
Yes, indeed. So, Judy, let's touch on demand first for these garden plots. Why do people want them?
Part of it is that people may not have property available in which to garden. Also, we have a lot of people who are lower income. And so to supplement their food, they're going to garden. Other people like to donate to food pantries. For some people, it's great exercise, a way to meet their neighbors. So there's lots of reasons that it's important to have community garden programs.
Ooh, I wonder about inflation now and the rising cost of food. Have you seen any spikes in demand?
We have. Last year in 2022, as well as this year, we have a waiting list of gardeners, and we currently have about 400 or a few more than that right now because we're adding some new gardens this year to meet demand. But there's a huge interest in community gardens.
Wait, so you have about 400 plots and you have a waiting list of for those plots?
We have a waiting list, yes, and most of our plots are filled, so we're adding some new gardens. So there's just a huge demand for community garden plots.
Annie, what do people tell you as reasons for why they sign up for a garden plot year after year?
A lot of them, I would say over 50% of our gardeners, almost all of their fresh produce that they consume come from their community gardens. As Judy touched on, a lot of our participants are low to moderate income and otherwise would not be able to eat the recommended amount of fresh produce that they are supposed to consume if they didn't have access to these community garden spaces. Another one is just, like Judy said, exercising. And for our city, we have some vacant lots that just kind of sit for years and years. So it also is a great way to restore and enhance any vacant land that is around a city and bring some inclusion and more of a community gathering space for some of these neighborhoods as well.
Judy, Brown County started its community garden program nearly 30 years ago to really address the issue of food insecurity, nutrition insecurity. How much are community gardens able to help on this front?
They're definitely able to help, as Annie shared. For many of our households, in the summertime, their primary source of fresh produce is from their gardens. And if you look at the price of fresh produce right now, it's pretty expensive. And so for our families, they're very appreciative of that. We also have a number of gardeners who raise and donate to our local food pantries. And we hear from our food pantries on a regular basis that they never have enough fresh produce. So the food pantries that participate in our Planting for a Purpose program are very appreciative of the produce donations that they get so that they can then give those donations out to food pantry users.
Annie, take us into the level of coordination in harvest coordination and the level of volunteerism that's required to get produce to people who need it most.
Yes, so I am the coordinator, so I oversee. Currently, we have 15 active garden sites. We are planning by the end of this year to have 17 active garden sites. So I am the one who handles all of the renewals and registering any new gardeners that want to participate in our program. And that all feeds through our office. And then I'm working with the city of Green Bay to get the land tilled and plowed and prepped. Each garden site, we try to have a site leader, which is a volunteer. So 15-ish volunteers are kind of help me be the eyes and ears at each garden site, because I can't be at all 15 gardens within a reasonable enough time during the week to really be able to capture if there's anything at that site that needs attention to. So these volunteer site leaders help me, and they kind of act as a liaison between the garden and my coordination efforts. And they help with anything from staking, helping weed if somebody can't get to their plots and it's kind of getting in a bit of a disarray and the person, you know, life happens. So we help pitch in so people can make sure that their garden plots are staying not overrun by weeds. And then as for the harvesting, Judy had mentioned our planting for a purpose. Last year, over 4,500 pounds were donated last year. And I mostly just help coordinating, making sure that the food pantries are agree to accept donations from our gardeners. And then really the harvesting is all up to the gardeners. I help towards the end of season, just making sure that fall tilling and plowing happens with any of our garden sites that need it. And then just kind of double checking that the plots themselves have been cleaned out of any of the vegetation that is required of each plot. Some of our gardeners in our raised beds have perennials, so they don't have as much harvest clean out as some of our other sites.
That makes sense. Talking about community gardens with the Brown County Area Extension Director, Judy Knutson, and we have the Community Garden Coordinator there, Annie Schmitz. You can join in with your questions about community gardens, your experiences with them, and what is happening in your neighborhood. 800-642-1234. So, Annie, now through most of March, gardeners can register for new plots. What is your best advice for someone who hasn't had a plot yet?
Good question. So I'm a pretty novice gardener myself. So we usually typically somebody who has come to us who has absolutely zero gardening experience, we usually recommend trying to get one of our raised beds. Just because they're a little bit smaller. So when you're first starting out, you're not biting off more than you can chew. And it kind of dips your toes in into gardening and keeping track of a plot and how to set up a garden. And then once you kind of get a year or so under your belt, if the gardener feels ready, there's a brief period of time where I allow any existing gardeners to kind of switch into different plots before I open it up to new people, so they can always move into a ground plot if we have any open. Those usually are, when people snag up those, they usually keep them. I'm a pretty novice, so I would say raised beds for sure if you have no experience, because we have plot sizes from 10 feet by 20 all the way up to 50 by 50 feet. So if you kind of are not quite exactly sure how much time commitment goes into gardening, they can get away from you pretty quickly. So yeah, we usually always recommend for novice ones, raised beds are really nice and pretty easy to keep maintenance up with.
Judy, do you have any advice on community garden etiquette, or what would you consider good community garden etiquette?
Yes. One of the issues that we've had in the past is that people who grow things like squash and pumpkins, those vines can certainly invade a neighboring gardener's plot. And so making certain that if you're going to grow things that are going to grow horizontally, that you do plan ahead to make certain that they don't overtake somebody else's garden plot. Not to move your stakes. We stake all of our garden plots, and occasionally somebody wants a few more inches, so they will try to move their stake, and to keep their weeds under control. Because we do want our community gardens to look good. We're, you know, as mentioned, they really enhance neighborhoods. And so we want the gardens to look really nice when people are driving by or walking by. So those are some of the etiquette sorts of things we would expect from our gardeners.
Judy Knutson there, Brown County Area Extension Director. Annie Schmitz is the County Extension's Community Garden Program Coordinator. Colin, with what you wonder about how community garden plots work, the experiences you've had with a community garden in your neighborhood, join in now at 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We explore the operations of community gardens with an eye on Brown County, which offers residents hundreds of plots in Green Bay and the surrounding area. Join in to exchange information about how community gardens function, how they affect local neighborhoods as plot reservations open up in these coming weeks. Call in now with a garden plot question, 800-642-1234. Brown County Area Extension Director Judy Knutson is here, and its Community Garden Coordinator Annie Schmitz there with us. Samantha now in Whitehall. Samantha, hi, go ahead.
Hi. I just wanted to say that I had a community garden. Actually, I was in a community garden like in Arcadia, Wisconsin, near the high school, maybe about eight or so years ago, and it was really neat to see. You know, you got a 20 by 20 plot, and you were paid your dues, and then you had it for the season. But then to see what everybody else was growing, and sometimes you'd meet people, you know, English people and Hispanics and all different people, you know, and just get to talk to them if somebody was around. And you know, maybe you had something that someone else didn't plant or vice versa, and then you would share it. Or maybe you were doing something wrong and somebody saw you, you know, how you were planting, and maybe they could help you so you weren't overcrowding. It was just a neat thing to see, you know.
Oh, Samantha, thank you so much for sharing that and hearing about that camaraderie and learning and sharing and community building. Annie, do you feel that as you work with all of your garden sites?
Yeah, we definitely see the gardeners almost kind of take care of their own, so to speak. A lot of them really have expressed at end of season that we got to meet people from different backgrounds, and it was so great. And you know, I was kind of really new or trying a different planting a different plant this year, and somebody else has really great experience doing it and came over and helped me. So we definitely do see that. At each garden site, it's definitely its own little community.
Judy, I wonder, you know, some garden plots are affiliated or perhaps on the land of like schools or churches, organizations, places of worship. Do these entities have a role in maintaining the garden, with the land it's on? Or how do those relationships work?
So we have an assortment of private owners as well as public owners. We're very fortunate because the city of Green Bay does till all of our gardens. So, for example, we have a garden at Annunciation Parish here in Green Bay. So the city takes care of tilling it, the gardeners, and we do the staking, and then the gardeners plant the their plots, and then at the end of the season, they clean their plots up. So really, for the landowner, there's not much responsibility or expectations that we have for them, because we have these relationships with the city as well as with our gardeners. And so it's a great opportunity for landowners, whether they're public or private, to be able to take land that they typically wouldn't be using and do something positive with it without having to make a large commitment of time or resources.
Okay, from a private landowner standpoint, hypothetical here, as we see lots of new housing developments going up around the state to tackle the workforce housing issues that we're seeing. Let's say I'm a developer. I would like to include a community garden at my new housing development. could conceivably the developer contract with you, the county, to create a community garden as part of my housing development?
They certainly could do that. Really, here in Green Bay, we do try to focus on our lower income neighborhoods, but if there was land available, we would enter into a memorandum of agreement with the landowner. We have a memorandum of agreement with every landowner that where we have a garden, so that we're very clear about what Extension's role is and what their role is. And then at some point, if they decide they want to utilize that land for something else, a notification period. But those memorandum of agreements have worked really well for us, and we've used them for many years. So all partners are very clear about expectations and the working relationship.
Annie, what about water, which makes a garden grow? As they say, how do gardeners get the water they need at these sites?
Yeah, so again, we're really fortunate to have great partners with the City of Green Bay. Any garden located within the city, the fire department fills up either we have huge water tank reservoirs at most of our garden sites. They fill up those for us. And then some of our garden sites, we actually have permanent water. We are able to work with an excavating company here in Green Bay to partner with us to get some permanent water at some of our sites. So yeah, it's either or city fire departments or we have permanent taps at sites for people to use.
Talking about community gardening with Annie Schmitz there, Brown County Area Extension Community Garden Coordinator. Judy Knutson is here, Brown County Area Extension Director. Join in with your questions, 800-642-1234. Judy, we heard from Saul called in from Stevens Point and is wondering what community gardens do with the soil after the growing season. Who cares for it? How does that work?
So that's part of our responsibility. So we do soil tests to find out what the nutrients are in the soil or if they need to be amended. We do have a gardens that we do amend. Some of them have a little bit more clay or whatever. So we do have a plan in place to amend gardens. And so that usually enhances the soil because we really want to leave the soil better than what we found it. And so it works really well to do amendments. And our community gardeners are very happy that we care a lot for the soil, and it's an opportunity to educate our gardeners about the importance of having healthy soil. So working with them and then utilizing amendments leads to really good quality soil in our gardens.
It seems like you've really laid a system down in Green Bay that perhaps could be replicated elsewhere. But what are the biggest challenges facing community gardens now?
I think for us, one of them is finding enough parcels in our lower income neighborhoods so that our gardeners don't have to drive so far. Mm. We also have a number of gardeners who would take an eighth of an acre or larger for plots. So we are looking at how we can offer either an eighth of an acre or a quarter of an acre of plots or size plots. Also, urban deer are an issue. So we are having to spend quite a bit of money on fencing for particularly our newer gardens to make certain that the deer don't enjoy the produce that our gardeners are raising.
Oh, those deer, they want you to open as many garden sites as possible, I would imagine, Annie.
Yeah, the pests are usually always get complaints about rabbits, chipmunks. You know, we do our best with fencing, so yeah, it's a big effort. But yeah, fencing is expensive right now, so...
Well, Judy, in our last minute together or so, what would your advice be to other communities around the state to help further the community gardens initiative and really make it embedded into a community, into a county?
So I think we're really fortunate because we have strong support both from the City of Green Bay and Brown County government. But I think whether it's government or it's a nonprofit or whoever, to be very supportive of those efforts. Community gardens are time consuming and there are costs involved to have a really nice community garden. So being willing to donate either time or resources. Also thinking about how you can connect with local food pantries to share some of that produce and making community garden programs visible in the community so that those who want to participate in a community garden are aware of the program and where those gardens are located.
Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Judy Knutson is director of Brown County Area Extension. Annie Schmitz is its community garden coordinator. And we have a link to their gardens program at WPR.org/mornings. There is more conversation to come on community gardens as we move to La Crosse and we explore their impact on a local food bank. Call in with your community gardening questions now at 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We focus on La Crosse to learn how a community garden provides fresh produce for a local food bank program. The Cane Street Community Garden, it took root 25 years ago, produces on average 30,000 pounds of organic vegetables each year. Call in with questions about community gardens, how they work with food distribution programs. Share your garden volunteer stories, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Shelby Chapman manages Cane Street Community Garden. Shelby, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Good morning. And Shelley Fortner is here, Executive Director of the Hunger Task Force of La Crosse. Shelley, welcome.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
So I want to first, Cane Street Community Garden, Shelley, so instrumental to your mission at the food bank. Give us a visual of this garden, what it looks like, where it is. Take us closer to it.
Sure. The Cane Street Community Garden was the first program of the Hunger Task Force. It is located on La Crosse's north side on two city blocks. It's been a real blessing for the food bank. The beauty of the two programs is extra produce from the garden is then incorporated into our food bank so that our free meal site and food pantry network can have access to those veggies too. But the main goal of the garden is to serve the community right there on site.
What kind of impact do you see from this community garden? How has it influenced or changed your food bank?
Well, actually, it's obviously difficult, and we all know that real well from going to grocery stores, especially with the rise in cost of food, that fresh produce is really hard to find. And that was actually the reason for starting the Cane Street Community Garden many years ago, is to make sure that we could get healthy, nutritious foods into the diets of primarily low-income people, but really everybody in our community.
Shelby, the community garden operating from mid-March through mid-October. As manager, how are you preparing for the season?
Yeah, so over the winter, we've been working really hard to develop a planting plan to make sure we get enough plants in the ground to achieve our goal of 30,000 pounds of produce, but also besides the quantity, we want to offer variety for the community, because as Shelley said, the fresh produce is often hard to access. So we want to make sure that we can introduce all different types of nutrients into the community's diet. We've also been working really hard to develop educational workshops that will be hosted at the garden over the whole growing season.
What's in your planting plan this season?
We have thousands and thousands of plants that we're planning on putting in the garden. Anything from tomatoes, lettuce, eggplants, to more fun things like kohlrabi and squash. So tons and tons of variety.
I love it. I mean, you must have to really, in terms of figuring out what to source and where to get it and the seeds. I mean, it must be a lot of coordination.
It definitely is. You got to follow a schedule and make sure you're on top of things. But, you know, the garden has set a good precedent, and I've just been following what has been done in the years past and excited to introduce new things as well. So
we got a call here. Lori from Shano was wondering what is done within the community garden if someone wants to go organic and the bugs and the insects are spreading throughout the garden. And I understand you have, Shelley, an organic operation, but what suggestion or tips would you give to Lori in this situation?
Well, that's a good question. you know, pests and critters that invade the garden are always an issue. We do our best with live traps for rabbits and things like that. There's also organic pesticides that you can purchase, or you can actually make your own. Now, don't ask me that recipe, but there are certainly organic recipes you can look up online for that.
Shelby, what are your tips on how to manage the pests and the critters?
Yeah, so crop rotation is a big way to manage pests. Just moving different plant families around the garden so those insects don't root down in the soil and infect the same plants every year. We can plant trap crops so it can draw all the insects directly to those plants and keep them away from the producing vegetables. You can also plant pollinator gardens or introduce beneficial insects, and they will take care of all the bad bugs.
You mentioned hosting workshops at the garden site, and I'm wondering, you know, as you help people learn about all of the growing techniques and what community gardens can do, what are you trying to share through these workshops, Shelby?
We're just trying to give people the opportunity to take what we do at the garden home. We have workshops that will include recipe/cooking demos, so we can teach people fun and creative ways to incorporate the produce that they get from the garden into their diets. And if they want to get started growing at home, but they don't have access to the space like we do, we can teach them how to do that on a small scale. So it's space friendly and it's accessible to almost everyone.
Do you encounter people who have never tried a certain vegetable before?
Yes. Yeah. We've had some volunteers who hadn't tried cucumbers and peppers, which they do seem like very common everyday vegetables. But again, that just shows that they aren't easy to access and not everyone can obtain them. So
I'm going to reintroduce you both here as we talk about volunteer community gardening with Shelby Chapman there, Cane Street Community Garden Manager, and Shelley Fortner, Executive Director of the Hunger Task Force of La Crosse, that community garden so instrumental to their mission. You can join in the conversation about community gardens, your experiences, or your questions on tending a plot, 800-642-1234. Shelley, you really rely on volunteerism in order to get, you know, to help this garden grow and to harvest produce. Where do you find all the people you need to keep operations running?
Well, absolutely. This is a true community project. And so we are recruiting volunteers from all over. We're lucky enough to live in La Crosse, where there are three higher education facilities. And so students really get a lot of volunteer time at the garden as well. We look for different groups who have gardening as an interest, and just community members as well as businesses provide volunteers. And just so everybody kind of gets a well-rounded opportunity to do things. The partnerships that we're making for education have extended to the local hospitals to get some, you know, healthier recipes and things like that. So the community is pretty well aware of the garden, and it's just a great place to be able to showcase or teach.
Shelby, how many volunteers do you really need in order to make this garden flourish?
Dozens and dozens. Hundreds almost through the whole growing season, because We are a small staff here on the garden, but we really couldn't do what we set out to do and be the resource that we are without our volunteers. So we welcome as many people to come as they can and as they'd like.
You might find volunteers to say, but I don't want to weed. I want to harvest. I want to pick. You know, can you describe the range of things that volunteers can do?
Yeah, volunteers can show up and they can be doing anything from weeding to planting to harvesting. They can work with our compost. They can help till up beds. They can help water. So we have a variety of projects that they can help with every day. And if they don't particularly like doing one of them, we can kind of direct them to a different area of the garden to make sure that they're enjoying their time. We also have raised beds for people of all abilities to come help out. So if they can't access certain parts of the garden or that's difficult for them, we want to make sure they are included as well.
Shelley, this garden has been around for over a generation now. What are your biggest challenges in keeping this operation going, or what you have encountered with Cane Street Community Garden in terms of some barriers?
Well, we do we're lucky enough to be supported by the City of La Crosse that provide, you know, a really low rent for us there. We always are looking at, you know, what's going on as far as development projects, that kind of thing that may take the land away. But we have been very lucky that the city sees us as a terrific partner, and a previous development kind of worked around us and with us. So that's been really helpful. I think, you know, just making sure that we've got volunteers who are dedicated and that want to come back year after year. Like Shelby said, we can't do what we do without our volunteers. And the interesting thing too is we can take volunteers from, you know, age 2 to 102, because we have a children's garden. There's just, you know, a lot of ways that we can use anybody and their abilities in the garden. Volunteers, I think, are always going to be our main concern. We certainly don't have a guarantee year after year that, you know, we're going to have enough volunteers, but lucky enough to have some really great volunteers that return year after year.
Shelby, what's going on in the children's garden?
Yeah, so the children's garden is a great opportunity to get the little ones involved. We have some smaller plants that are easy to cultivate and harvest for them. We also have some programming that we're hoping to provide in the children's garden. So our workshops will, you know, we might have some for adults, and then we might have some focused on children so they can learn the basics of gardening, how to do it at home, what you know, pollinator gardens are, what beneficial plants and insects are, so they can really get a sense of gardening and community as a whole.
What plants are easier for kids to manage?
I would say, you know, cherry tomatoes, they're really easy to get growing. It's really fun to see them get really big, and it's especially easy for them to just pick and harvest them. They can just stand and pop the little cherry tomatoes off.
And then pop it in your mouth.
Exactly.
Besides the cherry tomatoes, any other tips for little gardeners, you know, as they try to maintain a little area, a plot?
Yeah, I would say just stick with it. You know, you might not see results right away, but it's really fun if you have seeds or if you have access to seeds in a little container, stick them in and see what grows. I mean, it's really fun just to be able to get something going.
Shelby Chapman manages Cane Street Community Garden in La Crosse, and Shelley Fortner is here, leads the Hunger Task Force of La Crosse. Call in with questions about connecting a community vegetable garden to a food pantry, your experiences with your plot or volunteerism, 800-642-1234. Still time to talk. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Community garden plot reservation season is underway. We focus on La Crosse and efforts of Cane Street Community Garden, mobilizing hundreds of volunteers to plant and to weed and harvest and providing produce to the local food bank. Still time to raise your questions about community gardens and involvement. 800-642-1234. We have Shelley Fortner, who is Executive Director of the Hunger Task Force of La Crosse. And Shelby Chapman is here, Manager of the Cane Street Community Garden. Shelley, you know, you have this goal of distributing about 30,000 pounds of food each year grown from the garden. I'm wondering, how do you know? How do you know it's that many pounds or where you're at in the harvest in terms of the yield?
Well, that's a thing that's done on a daily basis during the harvest season. Everything that is grown and harvested is weighed as we bring it in. It's set out on tables and we have distribution to the community 3 days a week during harvest season. Now, what's really interesting about the Cane Street Community Garden is that it's different from other local gardens where you can rent a plot or have your own plot to work on your own kind of thing. This is truly a community garden where the volunteers come in and plant the entire garden according to our planting plan. And then everybody is just kind of working on behalf of the community and for the community for this garden. No specific plots and no personal plots. It gives volunteers a sense of, you know, doing something greater than something for themselves. We really like that idea. It's a community coming together.
Shelby, Mother Nature might not cooperate. Sometimes like a crop will fail or something else will happen to the crop that you're counting on in your planting plan. What do you do about that? Because the food bank is relying on it.
Yeah, that's always a risk. And we try to prepare as best we can. But like you said, Mother Nature is unpredictable. So we do plant. We try to get everything, all the ground covered and everything planted. And we try our best to take care of it. But if something does go wrong, we just kind of have to roll with the punches and then try again and see if we can get it going again.
So you do a good bit of trial and error with the garden?
Yeah, most things we are able to, you know, we've got down pat and we've got, you know, how to do. But there is a little bit of trial and error, especially if we're trying to introduce new varieties into the garden.
What's a little more finicky for you in terms of introducing more varieties?
I would say just trying to get a wide range of, like, we don't want to grow exactly the same thing that we grew last year. So if we want hot peppers, we have people that come in and say, well, I would like, you know, to try some poblanos or some cayennes. And so just making sure that we can provide that to the people.
Wide variety takes a work and certainly more planning. Let's go to Mari now in Eau Claire. Mari, hi, what's your story?
Yeah, I am a co-coordinator for a shared garden. We call it a shared garden. It's part of the community gardens. And it sounds like it's very similar to what she was just talking about, where a group gets together. We will have up to 50 members this year, and we plan and plant about a quarter acre area. And we have monthly potlucks and meetings. So it's a very democratic process where the coordinators have ideas, but other people may have ideas too. And, you know, if anybody wants anything in particular, they have a say to add to the garden. So it's a very fun way to get to know people. And new gardeners have others to really question at any time and learn as they grow.
What is the favorite thing you have grown or discovered through the garden project?
Well, we experiment with something new every year. Last year, we grew globe artichokes. That's something I'd never grown before. And we have grown cardoon. That's something unusual. And different varieties of the tomatoes and peppers, eggplant. It's just fun to try different things out. And we're pushing the season here because, you know, we're so far north. And so we do a little cold frame too to extend the season a little bit. We're kind of experimenting on that end as far as the community garden is. So, yeah, we're always experimenting.
Mari, thank you so much for sharing that story and for community there. Shelby, are you familiar with globe artichokes and cardoon?
I am not. We aren't growing those, but I would be very interested in learning more about
You're
them.
You're jotting them down.
Yes.
Mari, can you tell us more about globe artichokes and cardoon?
Well, cardoon is a relative of globe artichokes, and I've had, you know, they're a thistle, and they get quite large down south where they have a longer season. I didn't think they would produce anything up this far north, but we started them early, and we did get some globes, and so that was very fun because it seems like it's something that only grows where somewhere warmer.
Mm-hmm. But how did you cook them?
Pardon me?
How did you cook them?
Oh, you just steam them and eat the leaves with a bowl of melted garlic butter.
Mm-hmm.
Dip it in. It's an appetizer kind of a thing. Or you can take the choke from the center and after it's steamed, dice that up for use in different things too.
Mm.
And I forgot to mention that it's a very productive garden, and we have so much excess produce. We have been donating to the community table that serves a meal 365 days a year.
Oh, and that's so nice.
And other food places where they are providing food for people. So
oh, Mari, thank you. Yeah, thank you so much. And Shelley, in our last minute together, you know, what donations does your garden need the most, or how dependent is it on in-kind donations?
Well, I'm glad you asked. We obviously depend on both. People have brought us plants, although we have a good planting session. You know, really, it's the staff that we need to make sure it's organized and coordinated. Volunteers, bless their hearts, don't cost anything. But we do have, you know, irrigation and water. And we run a greenhouse for those plants. So we're paying heat for that. Obviously, for a nonprofit, funding is imperative to a successful program. And the more we grow, the more expenses we have. So it's a good thing all around that the community supports us, but we are looking at probably staffing as our largest need, and obviously seeds to purchase.
Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Shelley Fortner is Executive Director of the Hunger Task Force of La Crosse. Shelby Chapman manages the Cane Street Community Garden in La Crosse there. And we have a link to their garden program at WPR.org/mornings. Earlier, we had Judy Knutson and Annie Schmitz on Brown County's Community Garden Program. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.